Hey, local legends. Welcome to the Why We Run podcast, hosted by me, John Barnes. Today's tale from the pack comes from Kim Kennedy. Tragedy turned her towards running, and her mindset and resilience have taken her to some remarkable achievements, setting a fantastic example for her daughter. This is her reason.
So in 2009, I lost my husband, Andrew, in a road traffic collision. We spent the day at Leeds Music Festival, become parted, lost each other. We both headed home separately, both walking, so we're both quite active. Sadly, he was killed by a lorry, he was hit by a lorry on a narrow, like, verge grassway. We're still not 100% sure what happened that day, but obviously he was sadly killed. The history to me and Andrew was that at that time we were 27. We met at 15. We've been in a relationship since that age, so we were child and sweethearts, as we're well known. And we married the previous year. And obviously we had the rest of our lives together. Yeah, it's obviously horrendous, isn't it? Obviously we're both 27. It's the kind of relationship at that age where two lives are one. Grown up together, your friends are the same. We went away to York, you know, obviously both from Lancashire, went away to York University together, went on holiday together, we did together. Obviously my life was just, it was torn into pieces. Not only had I lost my best friend and husband, but obviously my life had just, it just felt like it had been taken away from me. I was away from my family. We're from Burnley, so were Andrew's family as well. So it was a really difficult time. There were the police investigation, eventually the inquest. There was a lot going on and not a lot I could really control. I was stuck in York by myself. I had a couple of friends in the area. I did visit my family at the weekends, but I was obviously by myself, just in a bit of a mess, really. I had done a little bit of running. I think a couple of years before, I had done the Manchester 10K and I'd also done the Great North Run. At that time, I was raising money for cystic fibrosis because my niece does have that. I've always had a reason for running, for racing. I suppose at that stage, that was a big race for me, 10K and a half marathon. I remember doing the Great North Run, training on the flatlands of York. It was horrendous. I was walking like John Wayne for days afterwards because that was a hilly run to me back then. It was just awful. And myself and Andrew were quite active as well. He got me into running. It was a few years before, and I remember being at my parents' mobile home in Heysham, and we ran down like the front where the power station went. I think I got like a quarter of a mile. I was like, this is horrendous, I can't run. And I did do a bit of running when I was younger, but yeah, it wasn't something I was particularly into. Like, I wasn't fast enough on track. I did do some sports. I was a swimmer. I swam for a club and I played some netball at school, but running just wasn't my thing. I got chosen for the cross-country school team at secondary school. I think it was year 8. It was horrendous. I made sure I never got chosen again. It was wet, it was muddy, I was slipping around in school pumps. I was like, this just is not for me at all. So, yeah. Following that, in 2010, me and some of Andrew's friends made the decision to raise some money for the road safety charity Break. Break raise awareness of road traffic collisions, but they also help families who have lost people through road traffic collisions and also serious injuries as well. So I was in contact with Break following Andrew's death. They explained so much that I would not have known at 27. So even things for me like, how do you arrange a funeral? I had no idea. I'd not lost anybody. Death was a whole new experience, really. And eventually they put me in contact with a volunteer who visited me at York. She had lost her parents. She was older than me, but had lost her parents in a road traffic collision. So she visited me quite often. I had access to a helpline. And it was just, I just found it really hard because a lot of people were saying, we understand what you're going through. And that was one of the hardest things I could hear from people. I'm not saying it's any different, but you get a lot of older people saying, we've lost a husband at like 75 years old. I was like, you just can't understand. It's a sudden death. I'm so young. Somebody's life has been taken away. And it just feels like my life's been taken away as well. Break do have access to volunteers who can speak to you on the phone in similar circumstances. So I was desperate to speak to somebody who lost somebody at such a young age. They find a girl who had lost her husband on a motorcycle. I found that call really helpful because I just couldn't see my life. How was I going to survive? Would I live? Did I want to live? They were all the questions that obviously were going through my head. Break was fantastic at home for me, but for Andrew's family as well. Andrew's sister as well wasn't a runner. She ran the Manchester 10K because I ran back over the finish line to go and get her. So that was lovely. And I think that was the first race that we did that year. And there was a big bunch of Andrew's friends did it as well. So it was really lovely. The same group of friends also did the Great North Run. And then two of us did the Edinburgh Marathon that year as well. That was horrendous. Inappropriate trainers, didn't fit me. I had no idea of fueling, just inappropriate everything. Didn't know anything about running. I was injured before that marathon. So I think the month before I did no running whatsoever, but I had to run the race because we'd raised a few £1,000 for break that year between us. So I had to do it. You know, no option really. I raised the money, I was doing it. I got to 20 miles. I just fell to pieces because I was not only had hit the wall, but I was really sore. So I just literally cried and hobbled the last 6 miles. I was like, I am never, ever running a marathon ever again. That's the end of it. But funnily enough, I went into work the day afterwards on my day off with my medal. So the people decided they wanted to do the end of the marathon the year afterwards. And there I was again the year after doing exactly the same marathon. I've been never doing one again.
So thank you so much, Kim, for sharing with us. It's tragic events, what happened. I'm going to jump straight to the point of the question. Did running after what happened to Andrew, did it help you feel connected still to him?
It did in some ways, but what I find running, even now, I still find the same. It's my time to switch off. You know, sometimes I go out and I do not think of absolutely anything. I've got such a fast-paced life. I have a stressful job. I've got a daughter who's very active and I'm always seen to be busy. So for me, I can just go away and I do run mainly by myself. There are a couple of people I do run with, but mainly by myself. I don't really think about anything. Sometimes I might use music if I'm on the road or on local trails, but I don't want to. So yeah, it is. And I think after Andrew's death, I spent so much time crying. When I ran, I didn't cry. So it was quite nice not to really feel at times.
Yeah, to avoid people, I think you've mentioned it to me before. You went out at
really early.
Sometimes
before.
Do you still do that now?
Well, I've not been able to as much, and I'll get onto that later. That's obviously due to just mobility issues at the moment. But before, when my daughter was first born 8 years ago, I never wanted to miss any time with her. So when me and her dad were still together, I would go out really early. So I was like 3-4 o'clock in the mornings. So that was on maternity leave, but also when I was back at work full time as well. So I'll get my runs in, I'll be back, she wouldn't even know I was gone. So yeah, and I have. On the days now when I don't have her, I still go out early, but I can't go out as early. Body just won't let me do it.
I'm going to ask, I'll never try and pretend that I can understand what you've been through, right? But I want to ask about your relationship with running through the years and whether or not you feel it's been healthy or potentially unhealthy in some ways. My thing in sports is whenever I had a life event, like I went through a divorce, my dad died of a sudden heart attack, I just went in full steam into these events and just took my mind off everything and escaped. And I look back now and I realize it was actually quite an unhealthy relationship because I was just bottling everything up inside and just using sport to get rid of the excess energy. For you, how did it work?
I mean, there are a number of key points for me in that I think I used it as sometimes a way to feel pain. I knew I was quite a soft person prior to obviously what happened to Andrew, but I had to toughen up and I had to toughen up quick. I would cry at the basic of things. I was the kind of person who went to university, spoke to my parents every day because I was homesick. I was just a big softie, really. And I don't know how I made it into social work, to be honest. My sister actually said that. She didn't think I'd survive in that job. But I had to toughen up really quick. So I think, obviously, particularly when I started getting into ultras, I realised mentally I could probably do anything. But I started picking up minor niggles and injuries, then I could push myself through anything, and I have done it. And it was a way for me to feel pain because I felt guilty, although I wasn't actually physical there when it happened. I felt guilty as to obviously why I was still here and why it couldn't have been me. So for me, that was my way of, I suppose, dealing with it. And it has been at times. And I don't even think it's just that. I think it's been other areas of my life as well. So when I separated from my daughter's dad in 2019, I absolutely smashed races that year. I was running 100-mile weeks. I was solo parenting and I was working full time. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I knew nothing about recovery or fueling after race at that point, but I was running really well. I raced every month. I was doing ultras almost every month. Then in between, I just think I'm throwing like a half road marathon, get a PB, think this is fantastic. People looking in this thinking, you know, she's all right, and she can run. This isn't the girl at 27 who lost her husband. So there was obviously that in there as well. So I think definitely, yeah, when I've had difficult times, I have thrown myself into running, and I think I killed myself that year, to be honest. But I felt great. I was winning races, and obviously not particularly big race, but I were running races, and I were getting PBs. It was just a great feeling. I look back now, I look at my photos, I'm really slim. Not because I didn't eat, because I didn't know what I was doing, did I? I had no idea I shouldn't be running 100-mile weeks and doing what I was doing. But I just wasn't feeling proper, and I was running far too much, and I wasn't letting my body recover, sadly.
Yeah, some of your achievements that year and your times are pretty incredible. But what tips would you give for people? The way that I kind of try and view it is that running has always been a tool for me to deal with mental health and to have, you know, like have that time to yourself and be selfish in certain ways. Running is quite a selfish sport,
yes.
But it shouldn't be the only tool, right? Mm. And I think from your story, that's what I kind of get coming across. At times, I mean, it's helped you out a huge amount, but were you quite quiet back then? Would you go into running, or were you talking about things going on in your life at that point, or is that something that's come later?
Yeah, no, and I still don't think I do now. Like, there's a few people I've met through running who I trust my life with, and I would tell them everything they know a lot about my relationship with running, what happens when I don't run, and how it does impact on me. Because one of the things, obviously, with running for me was about the control. I couldn't control running. I couldn't control anything else in my life. You know, I was moving back to Lancashire. I wanted to be in York. There was so much I just couldn't control. Police investigations, and I didn't know when the inquests were. It was the one thing I could do. I could put my trainers and I could run. Nobody could stop me unless I was injured. But I think over the years, my relationship's a lot better with running. I'm not saying it's really hard. It is still really hard when I can't run. But I find other ways to manage it. So, I would have hated walking and hiking up hills because it was just so time-consuming. I love going out with my daughter now. But she's starting the weigh-in right. So, obviously, we go out walking. I just have different ways of managing it.
She enjoy getting out there?
Yeah, she loves it. She can walk for miles.
And I want to touch on the running community there, getting out and meeting people. Has that been one of your favourite things, I guess, through the years?
Yeah, the winning races is never something that I wanted to do. So eventually I ended up being coached, and she asked me why. Obviously, I wanted to be coached because I'm running far too much. It was in 2019 towards the end. I want to be able to run forever. Until my feet hit the grave, I want to be able to run. And obviously the way that I'm training now, I won't be able to. But the people that I've met, again, like you said, I just love hearing the stories. Everybody who I've met on Ultra has got a story behind them. It might be a sad story, it might be a happy story, but I've just met the best, you know, some of the best friends. Not all of them do Ultras, but my partner's a runner, and that's just my life. Like, I can't imagine, like, going out to the night and getting really drunk. I've never been able to do that for, you know, a long time. It's just not for me. Because what do you have in common with some of these people? They just don't understand your relationship with running, the craziness to it. It's just like, she's bonkers.
It is a really interesting point, though, and something I've spoken to a few people about, where you essentially change your environment to be around more like-minded people. And I've kind of struggled with that in the past. I wasn't willing to change my environment, but then it becomes quite a lonely journey because you're the only, you know, you're the only person that feels how you can feel, and you don't have anyone else you can talk to.
And I think it's like the motivation behind those people as well. They're motivated to do things. You know, the strive to obviously achieve, whether it's just finishing that race or winning races, because obviously I've got some friends who are very good runners. My partner's very good. It's just everybody's got their own reason for doing it.
Talking about the good runners, so like I say, you've set some pretty good times through the years and had some really good achievements. When did you realise you were you were good?
I don't see, I think 2019 was a very good year for me, and I'll never ever get back to that stage, whether it's over, you know, a short distance or longer. I'll just never be at that stage. I think I was just lucky with some of the races that I did. I still don't see now. I think I'm just somebody who, I think if my body was physically well, I think I could achieve whatever I wanted to be running, because mentally, because of what happened to me, I think I can just push myself. And I know I had some discussions, obviously I didn't do the full span, I wouldn't be able to do it now. I've got no doubt in my body was obviously in the right place that I would finish the Spartan race. And I've never gone into a race thinking I am not. I mean, I remember the first 100 I did, and somebody posted the statistics of how many people don't finish 100 miles. And I read it and thought, wow, I'm not even considering I'm not going to finish the race. I am going to finish it. Not only am I raising money for break, but there's, you know, I'm going to finish it. I did finish it. And I have, there's only one race I've not finished, which I went into injury, and that was a Spartan Challenger a couple of years back, and I was just ruined and ruined afterwards.
Yeah, I think your mindset and resilience are two of the things that will come out throughout the podcast. Now, I have to know, one of your first races, you told me, was a 12-hour race that you were supposed to be doing with your friend. Your friend got injured, you were then on your own. You still went through with it.
So yeah, I did.
What made you push through when there was such an easy excuse or way of getting out of it?
Well, again, we raised money for break. So obviously we both raised that money for break, and so I didn't feel there was an option. I think when you're raising money for charity, I know people do have to drop out of race. I just think, actually, I'm raising money for a cause, and obviously for other families who have been through what I've been through. And you don't realise until you lose somebody in a road traffic collision how frequent they are. I've actually also, when I was younger, lost two other of my family members in road traffic collisions. Some people have never experienced that. But when you look at the statistics, it's really high. So the work they do, it's just amazing. Like I said, I had to start and I had to finish it. And that's obviously how I fell into ultra running. So I think I did 56 or 57 mile a day. Absolutely horrendous running around the field. Like 5K loop, and it's just not for me. And I did do it again a few years later. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think at that stage, I had done marathons. I think I'd only done about 17 mile leading up to that training-wise.
And in some of these races, let's say these ultra aspires, you say your mindset is one of your strongest attributes. Do you ever get to a point in a race where you question yourself, or are you that set that you don't even hit that point?
No, I do, yeah. And I think I've probably noticed that more in 100 milers because you have these up, down peaks. I'm not going to finish, I'm going to finish. And you'll see somebody, you'll talk to them for a bit, then you're back up there, then you're back down. And that's what I love about that distance. Yeah, it's just a great distance because you just have that up and down. 50 mile probably okay, but it's after that, up and down. I'm not going to survive. It's dark. It's horrible. Why do I do this to myself? I'm never doing this again. I need to get to the eggs. I need to see my daughter. So that it's just... I've got to get that medal. I need to show her.
You said your daughter loves looking at all the medals, right?
Yeah. And I remember when I came on for the Spine Challenge, it was like, what do you mean you've not got a trophy? What do you mean you've not got a medal? So it was trying to explain to her, yes, you can try and do things, but like everything you try, you will achieve.
It's almost one of the most important lessons, right? If you came back every time with a first or with a medal, you know, say it almost brought that unrealistic expectation. I don't really like the term DNF. We talk about it sometimes. I don't think it's you talk about DNFs and ultras and then you'd be like, oh, it's a failure not to finish. But yeah, I don't see it as that at all. Did you know when you went into that spine race that your body wasn't in the right place?
Yeah. So I had a foot problem leading up to that. So I spent the 2 months before that race not running. I think I ran maybe a couple of 10 miles before. Luckily, it was a summer one, so I wasn't carrying that damn heavy pack. But I knew, and I went into it knowing the likelihood that I wasn't going to finish it. So when I didn't finish it, I wasn't disappointed. Like, I know people can get depression and just feel really awful, but I knew the likelihood was I wasn't going to finish, but I paid quite a lot of money for it. And I'd also trained because it was the year before COVID. I should have done it when actually I was probably in my prime. If I would have done it that year, it would have been finished and I probably would have done okay in it. But anyway, life doesn't work like that. So I did attempt it. I thought I'd maybe get to Hebden Bridge, so about 40 something miles into it. But obviously I'm stubborn, very, very stubborn. Got 70 miles. I knew I was heading towards Penny Ghent. It was getting cold and wet. I don't mind the cold and wet, but I was slowing very much down. I couldn't get over stiles. I looked at my watch, thought actually time-wise, I would be in the cutoffs, I could finish it, but what am I going to achieve by finishing it? I've wanted to do this race for so long, but I've actually run over 100 miles and my body's damaged now. What damage am I going to do by doing another 38 miles? And I'm putting myself and others at risk going, if I even attempt to go up Penny Ghent like this. So I just pulled the plug on it. Lots of people messaging me afterwards, like checking on me all week, checking I'm okay. I was okay, physically I wasn't, but mentally, there was no tears for not finishing. I didn't feel disappointed in myself. I got further than I thought I was. I have no regrets for starting that.
What's the one thing you hope your daughter takes from your running journey?
She's not very academic as my daughter. Really struggles in the classroom, just the classroom environment. She needs extra help in some lessons. But you can just see, she knows herself, even at 8 years old, she's not the brightest in that class. And she knows it herself. And I think it's really difficult for children, I think, particularly as they grow up. But when you see my daughter outside running, if she's on stage dancing, her confidence, it's just amazing to see. And I suppose what I'm trying to teach you is actually not everything is based on academia, going to university and being in those kind of jobs. But also, if you put your heart to anything, you can achieve it. It doesn't have to be academic work. And I think mental health-wise as well, even for her, because she is so active. I think if you had her cooped up in the house all day, she would go stir crazy. So I think, yeah, again, it's teaching her about not winning races, because she went for a stage doing under 9 races and doing quite well. And you could see the disappointment at the end when she didn't win. I was like, you don't win everything in the race. You try your hardest, you do your best, but you will not win races all the time.
It's a very true point. What I'd like to talk about now is, I mean, people hear your story and, you know, get to the racing point you got to where you're smashing PBs and times back in 2019. But it's not been all plain sailing in the running department. You picked up some niggles and injuries from that, which are still playing about today. Are you able to expand on kind of where you are at the moment?
Yeah, so the first few 100 miles I did in longer races, I didn't really have any problems. I could do a 100 mile race and I could be back out running again the day afterwards. My recovery was so quick, but over the years I picked up what should have just been like small injury. I'm not having anything major, but I think the biggest year I was at was after the challenge when I was like 4 months after that. But leading up to that, I was just starting to have some mobility problems and I kind of just left it. You know, people say, oh, it's just running. You've run too much that year. You've done too much. You've not eaten the right foods. You obviously were very thin that year. And that's, you just leave it at that really. But every time I do the long races, I think like when I say long, I would say anything under 20 miles I'm okay with. But any of the bigger races, I'm absolutely ruined afterwards. Like I can't walk. I'm struggling to get up. And then this went on for months after the challenge. I did actually go for some tests at the time. It was like, yeah, your inflammation's up. But as people would say, with endurance runners, you will probably have higher levels of inflammation anyway due to the amount of training you're doing. I can't remember at what point I went back to the doctors again. I had some more tests. They did inflammation again. It was up and they did the rheumatoid as well. So the rheumatoid came back and did say that it was high. Then you get referred to the consultant. But at the moment, the waiting list, an urgent referral this was. It should have been 6 months, the waiting list. It was 8 months in the end. So I've always been to see the consultant. The consultant's ruled out rheumatoid arthritis, but looked at my body and said, you've got psoriasis, which I didn't know either. I had a patch on my elbow and some small patches elsewhere. So now they're testing me for psoriasis, arthritis, basically. Psoriasis can cause arthritis, which I didn't know. I think there's 30-40% chance of getting it, but my mobility at the moment is awful. I started with niggles just before the spine sprint, and I've got no doubt that race has absolutely ruined me again. That was only, 47 miles? And I've carried on.
Only
47. but I think after that, I knew that I wasn't right. I carried on running. I've carried on pushing myself. I've just ached after every. I think the only run I've not ached in is I did a local fell race recently, Stan Bradshaw. And I thought, if I won't, I feel like I have done. There's no way I'm going to race. But I had a good day. I don't know why. Was it adrenaline? I don't know, but I had a good day. But since that, I've been ruined again. Very limited mobility. I'm struggling. I'm having to get up here in the morning to get a change, really struggling with my hips and back. So I'm waiting for MRI scans and x-rays and other blood tests coming back now. But again, the wait list for the next appointment is 3 months because the MRI scans are taking so long. So at the moment, I don't really know. I know for years I've known my body's not right, but you know when people just say, oh, you've run too much and you're doing too much. I've reduced my mileage massively. Like since being coached and getting injuries and niggles, I can be down to 40 miles a week, which compared to what I was doing is nothing. And my recovery and the running after the spine sprint has been really sensible. I think the longest run I've done is 12 miles and that was in January. So I've not gone over the top. I've tried to look after myself the best that I can. I do the stretching, the mobility, the strength. I do it all. But for me, my body just doesn't feel like it should do after those long races. And I think going into the sprint, I knew potentially that would, despite signing up for the Lakeland 100, I think I knew I would never do another 100 miler again. I think the likelihood is that will be my last 100, and that will be my last ultra world spine sprint, sadly. So yeah, it's not been an easy week, to be honest, because at the moment I don't know when I can run. I've not run now for 2 weeks. I'm struggling to, I am managing to get to the gym, but hobbling and night must look ridiculous. But I don't know, obviously, when I can run again. And for me, that's an issue because it goes back to that control thing again. If somebody said to me, you can't run for 2 months, I'd be fine with that. But at the moment, I don't know how long it's going to be. And when I do run, I already know Nathan's talking to a couple of people who have treated people with something similar. I know now that I won't be doing long distances because high impact, like sport, is basically out. So obviously, it's been a difficult week for me, really, because running is what I know. Running is who I am. And obviously my friends, you know, it's everything about a partner. They all run. So, you know, you take that away from me. And I suppose it's like losing most of my life. I know it sounds a bit dramatic because obviously I've got a daughter and I work and I've got a family. That's what it feels like. And obviously I've used it to manage so much over the years. When you start taking the running away, the plaster start falling off a little bit. Things start coming back that obviously I prefer to stay where they were.
Do you notice the impact that it has on you now when you can't get out? Like you lose that control to be able to go and do what you'd want to?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think I feel better when I can walk. So I'm hoping a week or so, like I'm back up in the lakes walking with my daughter. That's the next little plan, to try and get myself a little bit more sorted so I can do that. I think if I did nothing, it absolutely would do. But at the moment, my view really is that I don't care what I'm reading or what people are telling me. I will be running again. So how can I run again? How can I keep myself fit and active? I've done it before. I've cross-trained. I've come back. I've lost some speed, but not lost any fitness. So in my head, I've tried like setting myself little goals. So obviously in a couple of weeks, hopefully in the lakes, walking another way and right. I'm supposed to be doing the Three Peaks Fell race in a few weeks. That clearly won. That's in 5 weeks. If I'm running then, I'd be surprised. And then I think I've got like a relay club relay run in May, and I'm really hopeful that by then I'll be able to run 10 miles. So I'm just trying to set myself little goals. Clearly, I'm not going to be doing the Lakeland 100, but I just think I've just got to keep doing that. And I absolutely hate going to the gym. I do people stay on cross trains for an hour and a half, 2 hours, which is what I'm having to do. But I know that will keep my fitness up to be able to get back to running.
No, I can feel that. I did a challenge for all of March where I was doing the Alpe de Zwift on my indoor bike every day. So it's like 1,000 meter climb every day. Fitness wise, I feel great, but not being able to go outside. So it's replaced a run for me. And I've noticed it so much how it's actually impacted me that I just don't enjoy sitting in my conservatory on the bike on a turbo trainer going up this climb when we live right in the countryside. So I'm looking actually at the woods that I would be running around thinking, why aren't I in there? Yeah, I've never been a gym person. If I go on a treadmill, it's like 10 minutes max before I get too antsy about it. This might be a difficult question to answer, but I want to ask, so back in 2009, do you think Andrew would be able to believe how far you've come since then, the fact you're running you've run these huge races?
I don't think so at all. I think, and I know his family and his sister told me that I'd be really proud of me, because like I said, I was quite a soft character really. And I think sometimes people see me now and think that I'm too hard. But I think that's just what I've had to develop. I'm not hard at all, but I think I hide, obviously, at times how I'm feeling. Obviously, I just think, you know, the people, oh, she's a bit crazy, she does this funny, she's really tough and hard. I'm not at all. But like I said before, I only trust a few people sharing those feelings with. But no, I don't think at all, just because we just like it together. And I sometimes wonder if it would have been me, how Andrew would have survived, because he was definitely the strongest of us two. And I do, you know, I question that as well.
What advice would you give then to listeners who are essentially looking to take that first step? Because they might look at you and look at the achievements and think, oh, 100 miles, I could never do that. But you had a starting point like anyone else does, right? Yeah, where 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, you built your way up. What advice would you give to people?
My view really is, if you can run, you can do anything that you want. So as long as you're sensible and you don't obviously do what I did, I think just as long as you know a little bit about running and you do some more research and wear appropriate trainers, I just think you can. I think mentally, if you have got the willingness to do it and the motivation to do it, anybody can do it. I really do. I mean, you know, and even now when people say, oh, I can't run. And I said, but why can't you run? Well, I can't. I get a sore in my shin. But you need to work on that. You can't, anybody can run. So unless there's a physical reason why you cannot run, so e.g. you're in a wheelchair, you're not able to run, there is no reason why people can't run.
Yeah, and the benefits are there for everyone to see, right? Once you can get your trainers on and just get outside that door, once you're outside, life looks a little bit different, right?
Yeah, definitely.
No, sorry, thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, I've just got some quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So, trail or road?
Trail, absolutely. I hate the road.
Wind or rain?
Wind, I hate rain.
I had a really smart answer on that of, it depends what way the wind's going. I was like, oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I don't manage well in the wind. I'm obviously tall, but I'm quite slight, so I've been knocked around on some ultras.
Hot or cold?
Hot. I love the heat. I thrive in it. Absolutely thrive in it. My body just recovers a lot quicker in the heat as well.
You're one of those people that goes out in the summer with like hoodies on and everything.
I won't say how many layers I had on the spine sprints. I wear it. Yeah.
Uphill or downhill?
Uphill, because I'm awful at descending. I'm getting a little bit better since doing fell races, but uphill all the way.
I think that's the one thing when you get into trail races, uphill's a lot easier to learn. Downhill, yeah. I have no idea how I'm supposed to go downhill. Some people come flying past me and I just think they're on some suicide mission, kamikaze downhill.
It's hard, isn't it? Because on races, I do quite well uphill and on the flat, but I'll leave so many places and it's definitely something I need to keep working on.
Music or nature?
Depends if it's road running, music.
Group or solo?
I feel bad for some of my friends now, solo.
No, to be fair, I think it's quite a common thing. A lot of people say solo for training, groups for events.
I think that seems to be
the nice balance.
I think the thing with races, I like meeting new people and hearing their stories. Like, obviously, I've got a couple of friends we're doing with and love getting me patched up, but I love meeting new people.
And then when you're finished, will you go diving into the cake or the sweets?
Cake.
Oh, lovely, Kim. Thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely speaking with you.
Thank you.
And local legends, if you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a like or follow on whatever platform you listen to. We'll be back next week with another inspiring tale from the pack. Happy trails all.